morning to you. Time for another spotlight here on Red River Radio. That vocal music that you're hearing now by an ensemble called Roomful of Teeth, Grammy Award-winning artists, who will be having a performance coming up this Saturday in Shreveport at Centenary College and the Hurley School of Music. And I'm joined in the studio by Gail Odom, who's the Dean of the School of Music there. Gail, good to see you this morning.
Thank you, Kermit. It's good to be here.
And Brad Wells, who is the founder of the ensemble, is with us by phone. Brad, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kermit.
This is exciting, and I think anybody that just listened to that short little excerpt there probably can ascertain that this is something that's going to be a little bit different than one thinks of vocal music or choral music. You know, this is something that's very unique. Gail, I want to start with you first as to how you got this performance set up.
Oh my. Well, it was just a great opportunity. I had the privilege of hearing this group at a national convention in the fall of 2015 in St. Louis. They did a presentation for the National Association of Schools of Music. So this is a room full of 600 music deans, and not all of them were vocalists, but everybody was simply blown away. It's just really beautiful, but yet very cutting edge and innovative and interesting sounds, and I loved it. And I never thought I'd have a chance to bring them to Shreveport, but they called us last winter and were passing through the area, so we had an opportunity to capture them for our own audience here in Shreveport.
Brad, you got this group started, I guess, in 2009. What was the idea for the ensemble? How did this come together?
I'd been thinking for a number of years about how to put together a group of voices that explored a wider range of vocal styles, vocal techniques, vocal colors than are typically used in classical choral music. I'm a choral conductor myself, have done some composing over the years, but had gotten interested in some really dramatically different ways that the voice is used in different cultures around the globe. And I thought the more I heard, the more I learned about these different traditions, the more I thought composers would love to be able to make use of some of these approaches. And as I befriended some of the singers and teachers from different parts of the planet and different vocal traditions, it became clear to me that to some degree, some classical singers could learn some of these things. And a vocal ensemble could become a more colorful, vibrant place to make music than we had understood before.
You know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people have a fixed idea in their mind of what a vocal ensemble sounds like, and that certainly is understandable, but we tend to get isolated, I think, in our corner of the world, our part of the world, and forget that there are a lot of other traditions from everywhere. And I noticed that, you know, you've got throat singing, you've got Asian singing, different traditions. What was the process that you used to find people who were interested in learning those techniques?
I started auditioning singers in the winter of 2009 and auditioned through into the spring, and eventually found the 8 singers that comprise the core ensemble of Roomful of Teeth. Would expand a little bit just because the group is so busy through the year. But it actually, the easiest way, the way that worked to attract the singers who were most interested in this project was a video, a sort of Kickstarter type video I made a few months earlier that described the project. It used examples of some of these styles of singing I was most interested in at that point, and laid out the vision in for the video for funders, but it ended up also being a kind of calling card for the project for potential singers. So this was getting passed around in some singing communities on the East Coast, and people were starting to reach out to me as I was also reaching out to singers to see who would be a good fit.
So these singers come from basically all over. I know you're based in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they come from all over. They primarily, the Northeast is where most of these singers were based at that point. But at this point, some are in Texas, one's from California. Actually, two are in California, several on the East Coast, so all around the country.
Sounds sort of like a scheduling nightmare.
It's a challenge for sure.
plus the both for performances and for rehearsing. One of the pieces that you're going to be doing on Saturday's concert is a one with that I actually have to look at the title because I get the words backwards every time I look at it. Hi, Dun No Why Too. And I've got your recording of that here, and I just want to play a little bit of that, and then maybe you can talk a little bit about that piece and how that is relates to the rest of the program that you'll be doing here. So this is from an album called Render, and called Hi, Dun No Why Too by William Britell. I just love the variety of tonalities in that. At one point, it sounds like, I don't know, like a Gene Puerling group, and then you have the other sounds that sound like a steam engine coming down the tracks.
But we're all kind of dancing around here in the studio listening to it.
Well, I noticed there's a video of a recording session with you guys, and the singers are just as animated physically as they are singing. But it sounds like it would be incredibly complicated to put together, to do a piece like that.
It is. It's a tricky piece. It took a little while to kind of get our ears and voices around it. But one really fun thing about that piece and Bill Britell's music, Bill Britell is the composer, he really wrote it with the group. He, over the couple of weeks that we were gathered up here in Western Massachusetts, the summer of 2010, Bill brought in draft after draft after draft, and each day we'd try a section, and he would be happy with some things, and singers would be comfortable or uncomfortable with a certain phrase, and they'd talk about it. He'd go back and stay up late and come back the next day with another draft, and eventually landed on this. And by the time we got to that piece, it was largely in the voices and ears of the group because they had sort of been working it into shape with Bill. It was lots of fun, and I think it made lots of sense that it took that kind of time because the group was at the same time learning some of the techniques that are incorporated in the piece. So it's not like Bill would have an idea, like if he were writing for an orchestra, when you combine the flute and the oboe and the double bass in a particular way that it's going to sound like this. With this group, it's like if I combine Inuit throat singing and yodeling and some jazz chords, how is that going to work? And so it was a lot of sort of playing and retreating and playing again. Lots of fun, though. We love Bill's music for sure.
Brad, how much of the music that the group does is actually accurately scored on the page? And is there an element of improv in some of the songs?
There's very little improv in the songs. I mean, I think as with anything, any classical group that's, you know, trying to be musical in their performance, there's all sorts of information that can't be notated just in terms of feel and color and timing and vibe from moment to moment. But generally, in terms of what we think of as improvisation, there's not a lot.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
In the initial creation of some of these pieces, though, it sounds like maybe perhaps there was some element of that in coming up with the ideas.
For sure.
That maybe he used in the pieces.
That's true.
Yeah. I was kind of sitting here thinking, well, how do you notate that to begin with?
Yeah, and that's often been a question that composers will ask, and as we invite more composers into the fold, one of the first things I do is share the collection of scores that have already been written, so they can see, oh, that was the solution for that sound. And sometimes it's as simple as just a couple of words over a measure to say, you know, sing in a belty way or, sure. you know, something like that.
Well, that piece was just one specific piece, but I know that the different pieces, at least on your recording, they all vary quite a lot, so that you'll hear certain techniques in one piece. They're not necessarily in the next one. Some of them are very meditative. Some of them are more rhythmic and all of that. Talk a little bit about what else people will be hearing when they come to the concert Saturday.
Well, I think it's important to mention that we'll be performing Caroline Shaw's four-movement Partita for Eight Voices. This is a piece that Caroline, who's a member of the ensemble, wrote for the group over the first three summers. The first year she wrote one movement, the next year I think another one, and the third year two more movements. Even when she started, she wasn't thinking it was going to be a multi-movement work, but as she went on, it sort of occurred to her that this was growing into a bigger thing. She applied for and won the Pulitzer Prize in Music in 2013 for the piece. And really had not done a whole lot of composing before then, but has become one of the hot young composers on the scene today, largely on the basis of that piece. And she's brilliant, and we love her. And the piece is it also has a wide range of approaches to the voice, but it's got a kind of warmth and I think gentleness to it that allows listeners to enter in at first listen and really get it, really feel like they are along for the ride in a way that isn't intimidating or over their heads or difficult. It's warm, it's beautiful, it's tuneful, it's touching. It's an amazing piece, and we've performed it for audiences around the world and always gets a very, very strong response, and we don't tire of performing it. We love this piece.
And it represents a great introduction to the group, I think, is partially what you were saying there, because it does bring listeners into the world of the new sounds that you're making without driving them away initially and getting them to really kind of buy into the expanded sounds you're using.
Yep, that's a great way of putting it, yeah.
So the performance is coming up on Saturday. What's the start time, 7:30?
Yes.
7:30, and that's going to be in Anderson Auditorium in the Hurley School of Music at Centenary College, of course. If you've not been there, of course, it's a great venue, too, and I would think for vocal music in particular, it's got the nice reverberation
to
it.
Very it's very friendly for voices.
Yeah. as is Centenary College.
Amen.
There you go. Is there information available on a website location?
Yes, you can go to the news and events section of the Centenary College webpage and see an article about it. The Hurley Facebook page also has an article about it and a blurb about this upcoming radio broadcast next week as well.
And it's a free concert, right?
It is a free concert.
So what more do you need?
And we hope that the members will be, the plan is to be selling some of the CDs in the foyer afterwards, so you can be acquiring some of this music for your very own library if you wish.
I can't imagine someone not wanting to own this. Brad Wells, you're the founder of Roomful of Teeth. I want to thank you so much for joining us today via phone.
Thank you, Kermit. It was wonderful talking to you.
As you and Gail Odom, of course, with the Hurley School of Music, the Dean of the School of Music at Centenary College, thank you as well. And again, Saturday evening, 7:30 p.m., Hurley School of Music, free concert, an opportunity to hear this outstanding ensemble, and you're in for a treat. And if you're with an organization, you have a event coming up and you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, then by all means, give us a call here at Red River Radio at 800-552-8502.